Sorry, sorry, everyone. I was gonna say. That's funny. It's just that the iPad isn't useless because it is good at some things, like drawing. Honestly, I feel like that has to be like the majority of the market, like the target market that buys the iPad. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're still laughing at it earlier. Look, I sometimes forget what I'm going to say, okay?
You don't have to say yawn when you
yawn. Yawn. Oh, that's what you're laughing at.
You don't have to like burp the word burp and cough like sneeze the word sneeze.
You know, it's more. You make life more interesting when you do, though, you know?
Okay.
You let everybody know what you're doing.
Anyway, the iPad.
I'm going to just do that the rest of the time. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Testing, checking, toy boat.
Recording.
Toy boat. That's incredibly difficult. You can do it, though. I know you can. I've heard. Did we do this last time? Why? Ah, English.
What do you want to talk about, Joe?
Well, on the topic of English, there's some letters, so there's some words, you know, like color, the British spelling of color.
Colour.
Yeah, it's like what?
Favorite with a U, disgusting.
Yeah.
Analog with a U, disgusting.
Wait, does analog not have a U in it? In America?
In American.
In the greatest country in the world. Yee-haw! That's the eagle. Yeah, there you go.
Have you seen the YouTube video? It's like the Star Spangled Banner with just like eagle noises and like rifle noises behind and stuff.
No, but that sounds awesome. Go, 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 go. Yeah, I could imagine. That would be cool. Wow. I feel like even more American now.
I feel so loyal to my country right now.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Spelling, no need to put those U's in there.
Yeah, why? Like, when did that happen? Like, who decided?
Maybe you know? The people in the UK started to do that, and then the American people, in all their efficiency, decided to remove the letters to make it faster.
I could see it. Why did do we spell caramel differently, or do they actually spell it caramel and we spell it?
I think they spell it differently. Let's see.
Caramel. Like, who says caramel anyway?
Nobody. Who says sherbet? Nobody.
Wait, what do you say?
You're supposed to say sherbet. It's not, there's no R in there.
Wait.
I promise.
Sherbert? It's not Sherbert?
This is how it is, Joe. I'm just showing you how it is.
What?
Sherbert is just false.
He just showed me the Wikipedia page.
Often referred to as Sherbert, but that's just wrong. It's not what it's called.
That's crazy.
So in 64, Sherbert land is not a thing. In 64, Sherbert land is a thing.
That's crazy.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Did I mention I really like Bloomington in the summer? Like, just a ghost town. It's like, I like this. Dude. This is how it should always be.
Yeah.
It should always be a good. And do you ever, we talked about this, right? It's kind of weird that in life, you've got these like giant spaces that are used for like 10 minutes. So I say that, but it's like, you've got these giant church buildings. They're used for like, what, 4 hours on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Rest of the week, dead empty. Four hours a week, dead empty.
Yeah.
It's
or
like,
even like the football stadium.
The football stadium, dead empty, dead empty. A million people, dead empty. It's just kind of wild.
Strange.
It's like, you know, ever think of like all the lonely people, you know, where do they all come from? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where do they go? Where do all these millions of people live? How'd they get here? They all have lives? That's weird.
They do all have lives.
Say it isn't so.
That's so weird. I feel that. But like, you have to make the thing to capacity to hold the maximum amount of people that would be there.
Right.
you know,
and then it doesn't get used that way 99%. Exactly. Or, you know, make it be over capacity so it doesn't get overrun. But.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's weird. But yeah, I mean, I think Bloomington, I mean, it's been going up for years. I think, how many, you want to just look up how many people live in Bloomington instead of me just guessing?
79,000? It's got to be more than that.
79,000. Is that what, 2020 census?
2022.
Okay, well.
So add 48,000 students, and then there's 79,000 people all the time, in theory.
Oh, is that, I thought that meant there's, that's plus students.
No, 79,000 that just live here, and then add 48,000 students.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Is my understanding.
Dang.
Yep.
That's way more than I thought. Okay. Huh.
This is riveting.
This is maybe not the most interesting, but I will say, like, I agree with you completely. I love Bloomington the summer. I encourage every single person that I ever meet that's at school at IU that if you ever get the chance, you've got to spend a summer in Bloomington because it's quiet. It's beautiful outside. There's less traffic. There's less noise. Everything is open, but like not busy. Like I went to Crumble down by Mother Bears on campus at like 3, and usually it's like bustling and like crazy busy. Can't find a spot. The internet's not working because some people are using it. And it was just empty. Like maybe 2 or 3 people were there when I got there, and that was it. And I was like, wow, I love Bloomington in the summer. It's so nice. Biking places, because it's nice and you're not like freezing. You don't care about that, Zachary.
Nope, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. You ever play that game where, apparently it's like a social media trend and I didn't know it, but like there's a bunch of people in a circle and you like spin a thing and whoever it points at, run. Like,
where is this going?
So the person it points at runs back. Everybody else runs away. The person it pointed at grabs an egg and throws at the people who are running away.
Can't say I've played this. Tries to hit. This isn't.
It is
not played in homeschool.
I went to a bachelor party and we played it and it was awesome.
I assume not a hard boiled egg, just your clothes are messed just like up a, and it's yeah, just, no. It's all over.
Yeah. Yes. It was awesome.
Outside, I assume?
Yes.
Okay, just check.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It was like some of the most fun that I've had. I was really tired because I'm an old man now and my legs hurt, but it was like, just like the fear. It's almost like, you know, like, I know, it's stupid.
It puts the fear in you that you're going to get the egg on you.
Exactly. Like, it's like when people watch horror movies, you know, they want that adrenaline, that fear. When you take off running and you know that someone's back there with an egg in hand and they're trying to hit you, like just the, like the, you know, your heart starts back. It feels like playing Russian roulette, except you get to live if you get hit. You know what I mean?
Did you ever get hit, Joe?
Yes, I got hit.
How many rounds?
3 or 4 times. We had like 80 eggs.
That's
like
a lot of rounds.
7 people, 8 people. Anyway, I got hit in the head once. It hurt, but then like, and it was hot outside, but then the yolk like cooled me down. It was gross. Took a shower afterwards. That was good. But it was it was a good time. We should play sometime.
What's this game called? Like,
I don't actually know what it's
Russian
called.
Russian egg roulette.
Russian
egglet.
Egglet.
Egg Russian roulette.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, that was fun. Highly would recommend go out and buy some eggs, you know, if you're looking to capitalize on the lack of people in Bloomington this summer.
Wow, so many eggs. It's such a reasonable price. Don't mind if I do.
Just go to IU's campus and get, you know, one of the buildings and just
go to town.
Just go to town, you know? What are they going to do?
We said it here first.
You're just going to start throwing eggs at them.
Yeah, anyway.
This is not professional advice. Just disclaimer. Anyway, but yeah, that was a good time. But anyway, yes, Bloomington this summer, the wait times are all like
non-existent.
You can just like go into a restaurant and sit down and eat, you know. It's, well, you know,
maybe I would enjoy living in a small town. Maybe I would enjoy Bedford or something like that. I don't know.
I will say, for Memorial Day, we drove out to me and Jack and Jake drove out to Salem, Indiana. Have you ever been to Salem?
Have not.
Okay.
Did they have the witch trials out there, Jack?
They must have. I don't know. No, but it is one of my favorite little towns, like, ever. And same with Jack. It's one of Jack's favorites. Essentially, so, you know, Do you know Brownstown?
Sounds familiar.
Not Brownsburg, but Brownstown. On the way to Seymour.
I'm looking at the map.
So if you go south from Brownstown, like 20 minutes probably, okay. Salem is there. And they have this little town square and some historical stuff. It's probably about 20 minutes from...
Population 6,319.
Yeah, it's a small town. But they have this Mexican restaurant, and it was so good. I don't know how these small towns in Indiana have these awesome Mexican restaurants. I got these shrimp tacos, man. Oh,
life-changing.
Life-changing. Honestly, it's making me hungry right now. But anyway, I went down there. Or we went down there, and it was just so quaint and quiet and nice. And then you like drive through the country and you see all these like barns and cattle, and it's like, what is, well, I mean, not simple, but simplistic, you know? Like it's just, I would love to like leave work and leave like the city and leave the noise, you know? That's what's appealing to me about it. I mean, I guess, would you say that's what's appealing to you about it?
I think so. I mean, I'm kind of allergic to driving long distances. I just never enjoy it, but I don't know. If there were jobs there, maybe. What if you could be like some sort of quaint old store owner and live at the top maybe? And then like, because there was, I remember back when we went to as a family to visit the Outer Banks, it was very clear there were some stores that were like, no rules. Like the family just makes all the rules who works there and lives there. It's like sometimes open 11 to 5, sometimes when we feel like it on open a good day. Open when we want, close when we want to go to the lake and stuff. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness. You guys, you can work wherever, however you want. Like what makes you the most money? Like don't be open when no one's here if it's the off season. But then when tourists come, maybe you're open all day and make thousands of dollars and then back to not being open. I don't know. Customer service, not always fun. But once you think about that life where it's like you can make it what you want, that would be like, that is a lifestyle I want. I want some freedom to make life what I want life to be. To work in an efficient way. Maybe if there are truly, you know, tasks to be done, work, and if not, don't do something else.
Well, that's what I wonder when I'm out there. Is like, what do people do? Like, well, like not even in like a...
Stare at a tree.
Yeah. Not in a condescending way.
Eat shrimp tacos, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, just like, what jobs are there to be had? Like, I mean, there are factories kind of littered all over, which I imagine that's part of it. I mean, like farming, cattle raising. I mean, even in Salem, there's shops and there's like government buildings and people got to work, you know? And so, I mean, I think there's stuff to do. What I think would be awesome is to have like a remote job, but you could like go in when you want.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
You
yes,
know, like if it's that. Like, let's say you live in Salem, which is like an hour 20 from Bloomington, depending on if you go the fast way or not. But you like had a remote job, you know, but then you could work from home and then like come in when you want, you know what I mean? Remote jobs are not, I don't know. Just something about, this is funny because it's a repeat from school, you know, like I feel like I don't do well with remote. Like I need to be like something about being at work physically helps me to do the work more, you know?
Okay.
For me.
For Joe personally.
Yes. Just because, like, this helps me remember what I'm supposed to do, and I got my whiteboard, and I got my space that I...
Well, it's the CGP Gray spaceship thing.
Exactly.
Where you know this room is for one thing, and then you can go relax. Yes. Personally, I say just have an office in your home where you know what that you're supposed to work there,
but... Yeah. Hey,
why not? Yeah, I don't know, Joe. I've just, you know, peace is good.
Peace is so good. Peace
so is maybe awesome. I should move to Salem, Indiana.
Maybe you should. You should at least go down there. Like, if you're ever in the mood for a drive, which I know you hate driving long distances, which I actually don't think I knew about you. You really hate driving long distances?
I'm better if I'm the passenger. I don't know. Sometimes I just get to thinking, like, this is a long road out here, and, like, no one to hear you scream.
Kind of thing. Oh, I see. Like, there's safety in numbers.
Safety in numbers.
Got it.
I don't know if that's irrational or what, but I'm just like, you know, I could die out here and no one could know, but it's probably illogical.
It's probably a lot.
Probably.
No, but if you're ever in the mood to drive, I mean, I think it's a beautiful drive, just like through the country. And I love that stuff. And then like Salem itself is a really like sweet town. And then the Mexican restaurant is so good. Oh my gosh.
Joe's still dreaming about that Mexican restaurant.
I really am. It was like actually awesome. Oh, and so it's funny. My dad went down there with my mom a few months ago, and we were talking about this Mexican restaurant, and It was funny because when we got there, I used the bathroom and I like, they had this sink. And I don't know, like, it was the weirdest looking sink I've ever seen in my life. It was like,
it's like some Harry Potter fountain.
Well, it was like a, so like, you know how like a sink has like a back and mm-hmm. then like the sink part with the basin will like come out towards you.
Yeah.
And the water will come out from above.
Yes.
So it was like that, except there was no divot for the water to go. It was just flat. And at the back of it, where the sticking out part met the back part, there was like a slit, and that's where the water drained. But there was no bounding boxes anywhere to keep the water inside.
Wait, so it was like going on a table with no edges?
Exactly.
And then it was going into a slit? Did it overflow?
Well, so the I know, this is intriguing, right?
Do you have a picture of this, Joe?
I don't. I should have taken it. You got to go see it. The water stream was not pressured enough to where it splattered all over the place. It was like a pretty steady, like, low.
So you
couldn't,
wait a second. So there was a spot in the middle of the table where it drained?
No. It just went, they were counting on the fact that it would drain back before it went out.
Oh, okay. So it was like a slightly sloped table, right?
Yeah, it was a little bit sloped. Yeah, sorry. It wasn't just completely flat.
Okay, I was like, wait a minute. It was sloped like 1 degree or something.
Yeah.
It was, and then went toward a slit that's like closest to you, is that right?
Closest to the wall.
Okay, closest to the wall. Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah, the back.
So using it seemed real risky. Like
I know. I was like, where's the sink? And then I looked down and I was like, I guess maybe this is the sink. And I started washing my hands and I was like, anyway, crazy. I told Jake and Jack to go use it. I don't think they did.
They were like, this guy in his sink. His obsession with sinks.
When I was talking to my dad about their Mexican restaurant, I was talking about the food, and then he leaned in and was like, did you use the bathroom?
I was like,
the sink? And he was like, yeah, the sink was so cool. Anyway, it was a really cool moment. You really, if anybody out there is listening and you're interested in Mexican food, I think it's called the...
is it by chance the El Magüey Mexican restaurant?
Yes, that's the one. That's the one.
1,500 positive reviews. Search them now for sink.
Wait, really? It's really cool. It's a great, and it's like, it's very, I don't know. It was really a good experience. I loved it. I loved Salem. I loved the drive. It was just a good Memorial Day activity, you know?
Neither the men, this is a legit review, I swear. Neither the men's nor the women's bathroom had sinks to wash our hands or any means to clean them whatsoever. They just had a stupid table with a slit in it. Like, that's no sink. Like, they got to give us a sink.
That's really funny. I bet there's a ton in there like that. Is that like a 1-star review?
Yeah.
Nice.
It is. It's like, 0 out of 10. There's no freaking sink in here. Wait. Yeah, that's funny as heck. Anyway, guys, you gotta put the sink in there. No, stop giving me a table with a slope. So was it like confusing how to like turn the water on too, or what?
So I think the water made sense. It was like the place where the water came out from was like it protruded from the wall, but then separately, like probably 6 inches to the right of that, like it wasn't connected at all. It was like another. Like controller essentially, and you like would pull it out and then the water.
So you pulled out a controller in the wall. Far above the controller in the wall, the water came out?
Same level. It came out and then it had to bend in it down. Okay. You know? Like a normal the fact that it was separated was a little weird. Like it just but they both like protruded from the wall like they were like always there, you know? Very strange.
You want to install that in your future house. So you can just stare at it. It's like, the water doesn't fall off the table. No matter how much water I put on here, it doesn't fall off the table. Whoa.
I'm telling you, you got to go down there. If you're looking for something to do and you're hungry, get on down to Salem to the El Magüey. I don't know.
Do you know what's actually cracked my brain?
What?
So like speaking of like, oh, I'm staring at this table and it like slopes down and what? I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the ball machine at Wonder Lab? I don't know if that's what it's called. That's what I've always called it. But there's this thing at Wonder Lab, and there's a similar version at the Children's Museum and most museums, like Children's Museum you go to. But the Wonder Lab one is like you turn a crank, and like there's an elevator that moves all the balls up to the top. And then they go through this ridiculous, elaborate thing with all these tracks, all these mazes, tons of branching paths. They like bounce off of other balls and like play music, and then go into other lifts and then go into that moves other balls on different paths. It's just ridiculous. And so like what I did when I was a kid is like forget Wonder Lab, forget the like room with the bubbles, forget I don't know if you how much you forget the upstairs room with like random dinosaurs and stuff. It's like I'm gonna sit here and turn this crank for 5 hours straight and no one's gonna stop me. And then the Children's Museum one is like more automated because there's just like an automatic, you know, there's an automatic lift that's just attached to the wall or something. But it was like, you know, and because there were these balls that were perfectly calibrated to like bounce in midair and then bounce off this other thing and perfectly go on a track. And it's like, is it going to do it? Is it going to do it? Yep, it does it. Is it going to do it? Is it
every
gonna do
time.
It? Yep, it does it every single time. I think there's like one or two balls on the floor. So every now and then it didn't work. Mm. I don't know. Have you never seen this, Joe? I can't believe it.
Okay, so I went to the Wonder Lab a lot as a kid, but I really don't. I can kind of remember it. It's been so long since I went to the Wonder Lab. I need to actually, that would be fun. Well, maybe it's a little weird now because I'm 22 years old, but I could take my little sister, you know, that's an excuse. And then I can just play with the ball machine all day.
Yeah. Anyway, that's fun. I wonder, how much does it cost to go to Wonder Lab? I want to see this thing.
Pull it up.
Wonder Lab tickets.
Is it like a government funded thing or is it a private thing?
I think it's a private thing. For non-members, $14. That's not too bad.
They have membership programs?
I think they do. Members for free.
What? Yeah.
But how much does a membership cost?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, hide the price. I see how it is.
This is everything that I hate about.
Become a member. I'm on the second page. I still don't see the price.
You know what's ruined?
Oh, here it is. 158.
Our culture.
What?
Subscription mentality.
Well, okay. So I'm tempted to agree with you, Joe. But like, you know, the app developers, they have to get paid, right? Like you can't just make an app and then constantly update it to work with the new iPhones and everything for free because I gave you $5 in 2011. So like, that's not going to work, right? Okay. Oh, I can't believe this Froggy Jump isn't updated. I gave them $3 10 years ago, but I can't believe they're not updating.
I guess that's true. I think I just wish, my thing is, instead of charging the $5 fee at the beginning and never talking about it again, it's like, we're going to charge you $5 every single month.
Gets tiring for sure.
You know, and it's like, I mean, like, I get it if you want to do like, let's say the app's $5 and then it's like a $5 yearly subscription. That's fine. But I mean, I don't know. Like, come on. I'm just a guy. I'm just trying to get by, you know?
Just a guy just trying to get by.
I'm just a guy trying to get by. Write it down, write it down, write it down.
Well, okay, so here's my thoughts on that. So I have some audio software I really like from a company called Rogue Amoeba. They make excellent software. And what they do, they're pretty fair because they're like, the first time that you buy it, it costs, you know, a lot of money because it's nice software. But then you get the upgrades for free. Like, let's say you buy their program Audio Hijack 4 or something, and then you get like 4.1 for free, 4.2 for free, 4.3, 4, all the way to 4.9 or something for free. And so you get tons of upgrades over time. But then they're like, okay, we're introducing Audio Hijack 5 with a ton of new features. And we're going to, you know, still support the other one for now. But you have to pay us to buy the new one. Now, if you were just buying it fresh, Audio Hijack 5 fresh, you would have to pay a ton. But then there's upgrade pricing where you get a pretty hefty discount. So then you buy it. You're like, okay, sounds good. And then you buy the discounted version just for the upgrade pricing. That's one way to do it. The one problem, the obvious problem that comes to mind then is that, well, then they hold features back. That's like, well, we would have put this in Audio Hijack 4.5 or something, but we're just going to hold it forever and not give it to you until 5 to make you upgrade. Man, a company that did such a bad job with this is Reason, Propellerhead Reason, which is the music software I used to use. They're like companies like terrible, but I say that. But they're just like nickel and diming you to where it's like, oh, why don't you get like a new instrument, but it costs $199 or something.
Oh my gosh.
And it's terrible. And then, but then they'll do like, oh, how about you pay like $199 for upgrade pricing to the next version of Reason, but there's only like three things that are new or something, and it's just like, yeah, this is kind of gross. Anyway, so use Logic, it's better. But then even Apple isn't immune to that, because what was it for Logic? They were like, was it Logic or Final Cut they were going to be doing a monthly subscription for?
Really?
I don't remember. There was one, something.
Oh, come on.
I don't think you had to do it that way, but for the iPad version, I feel like it was Final Cut was a subscription.
Who uses Final Cut on the iPad?
Forget that, nobody.
Did you see the new iPads that came out?
I did. I haven't been following tech much, but I did see that there were some new iPads.
Yeah. It's like, I've seen a couple things, and there's some cool things, but like, the overall consensus is like, why? Stop trying to make an iPad a computer. Like, if you're going to do it, just do it.
You make a Mac where you can snap off the screen and use it as an iPad with a pencil, but don't make stop adding like goofy little keyboards and stuff to the iPad. Exactly. Like, oh, it's a Mac now. No, it's not. Stop.
Exactly.
It's never. It's always going to be garbage compared to the Mac because the Mac is awesome and exactly. iPad OS is just not the same as Mac OS.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. And they do different things well. You know.
They do, but like, I don't know. Do you believe the conspiracy theory that they're not merging them on purpose so they can just sell you two devices? I don't know. I don't know if I believe that, but at a certain point, it's like, why don't you just make the MacBook Pro where the screen pops off magnetically or something, and then
is it
touchscreen? Oh, heaven forbid! Yeah. And then you can use a pencil on it. Why not?
Oh I don't my know. Gosh!
And then you could maybe choose whether you want iPad OS or Mac OS depending on what apps you want to use.
Dude,
what am I missing here? I know you can make that Apple. You can make that in 5 minutes. Go make that.
They totally could. I'll bet it's sitting in the vaults. Some intern is like, why don't we do this? And then whatever his name
Tim
slaps
Cook
him
is
in the
like,
face. Back to your corner. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. What's that called when they do that?
Backhand.
No. Yes. But like the sound effects guy on like a...
Like a, oh, the Foley artist?
Yes.
Where they like grab a piece of meat and like hit it against their coworkers. It's like, oh, I slapped you. Yes. Or like the dead squelching zombies like the grapes and tomatoes
exactly.
and everything. Or the broken bones or carrots or something.
We should hire someone to be our Foley guy.
I'll leave the logistics of that up to you, okay. Joe.
All of a sudden, you're just going to start hearing squelching and yeah, all this sound effects stuff.
That's just completely unnecessary and adds nothing.
Yeah. Anyway. No, I know they could do that. And if they did, oh my gosh, that would be awesome. I think it would hinder the build quality probably. And that's what they don't want. I mean, there's like the all metal, right. all one piece.
You could make it be strong magnets though.
You totally could. I mean, they do that already.
There's already strong magnets in the watch and AirPods and everything.
But yep.
I don't see why you wouldn't do it that way. Because then what if the keyboard could still work when you detached it, if that makes sense?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you could put the screen on a shelf, but then, like, put the keyboard, like, it lower on your desk or something.
Dude.
And then Touch ID could still work. I feel like you can do this if you want.
That would be so cool. But it was Mac OS.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Which is clearly better than iPad OS, come on.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they keep trying to add features to iPad OS. Like, I told you, Joe, like one of my pet peeves in life, one of them is podcasts that only talk about how they make their podcasts, which don't get me started.
Yeah.
And then another pet peeve is like people that are really obsessed with trying to make the iPad be their computer. It's like, that's not what it's meant for. It can't run Mac OS no matter what you do and what crazy hacks you pull. And like, yeah. Oh, I send some files to my Mac and then automatically processes them and moves them back to my iPad. It's like, I know you want it to be all light and nice and I wish it worked that way, but it just doesn't. Just use a Mac and be a person. And
yeah.
Stop trying to be all cool with your iPad only lifestyle. It's like, and for how expensive it is, my goodness, like you can get, if you get a fully maxed out iPad, it's like $1,600.
Yeah.
And you might as well buy a refurbished Mac for $1,500.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Call it a day.
It's good at some things, really. It does some things really well. Like, yeah, I mean, a huge part of it is drawing. Like digital drawing is so big now because of things like the iPad and it's made it more mainstream, you know, and what's that word? It's not some $1,000, well, it's not some, you know, $5,000, like only does drawing tablet for actual professional people who like make animation for movies and actual art, you know, but it's something that like most artists can use and it like looks good, you know, and it looks like you drew it. So I am jealous. I just bought an iPad and a pencil for work, and I literally got it on the day that they announced the new ones.
Did you do that last time, Joe, where you bought an iPad?
I did.
And the second you did it, they announced the new
one.
So if we ever want Apple to come out with new ones, Joe needs to buy an iPad.
And then
they're like,
that's what they're
Joe bought
on.
It. Well,
yep.
Time for a new one.
Well, it's just like can you
return it, question mark? Are you within your 14-day window there?
Yeah. The new pencil is what is really cool to me with the barrel rolling and the squeezing.
Ah, yeah.
Ugh, that looks so cool. But
can you return it, Joe? Where'd you buy it?
I bought it off Amazon.
Oh, you can probably return it.
I probably could. But honestly, it's not the iPad that I've had the issues. Well, I've not had issues. It's just that the pencil doesn't always work the way I want it to. I also bought the pencil from Amazon, so it's like...
You can probably return them if they don't work, and as long as it's not been like 45 days or something.
Yeah, but I don't think it's probably been like a month, maybe less than a month.
Yeah, it's gray zone, but I don't know. Give it a try.
Yeah, I might give it a try. We'll see.
Worst they could say is no.
Yeah. I just think I need to start doing it. Like, I just need to, like, actually start. Because you have to make bad stuff in order to make good stuff, you know?
Amen to that.
Ugh. Which is so funny to me, but it always works that way. You get worse at it before you get better at it.
Give yourself permission to draw in a garbage manner.
Exactly.
And then you'll draw better over time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just it's because I'm afraid of failing that I don't do it, you know?
Amen to that. You shouldn't be afraid of failing, Joe. Better to try. I don't take this on it. I'm giving advice I don't always take, but better to try and have it be crappy. And it's like you're lapping everyone on the couch anyway, so.
Exactly.
Might as well.
Exactly. No, who cares? Who cares? You know? No one.
Just delete the bad ones and post the good ones on social media and call it a day. Exactly. Look at me. I'm so cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, but on seriously, subscription pricing. What's up with
that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what we were talking about. I was like, what, how did we get here? Because I feel like everything is a subscription now. Like, even things that don't need to be
your
a subscription.
Your toothpaste and razors from Harry's are a subscription.
It's,
everything's
yeah.
A subscription.
It's like the freaking, what is it called? MuseScore or Music Notes? Music. I, like, bought a subscription for their, like, sheet music stuff because I was like, I'm going to learn sheet music again. And, like, I still can't even get half the stuff I want because they don't. Like, just because I have a subscription doesn't mean I have the official licensing. So I have to pay extra for the official sheet music from the official people, which is so irritating. That's exactly what I wanted when I freaking signed the thing to, you know? You know, next thing you know, you're going to buy, like, a Hydro Flask and they're going to be like, "What? We need a monthly subscription fee because you're using our water bottle, you know?
I can't believe it. Yeah, otherwise we'll come to your house and take it.
Oh, my gosh. It's
silly. Is it just me or does every company want to nickel and dime you?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It's just like, I'm 100%. So tired of being nickel and dime.
Leave me
Stop
alone.
Nickel and diming me
yes.
right now.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Seriously. Leave me alone.
Just leave me alone. That's all I want to do. Move to Salem, eat some shrimp tacos. Or what was it? Fish tacos?
Yeah,
those
yeah.
shrimp tacos are to die for, let me tell you. Even though they don't give me a sink. They just give me a table with a slot.
With a slot in the back.
Yeah, I can't believe it. That one star. Shrimp tacos, great. Five stars. Mm. But negative one star for the, for the sink.
Golly.
Man, people are stupid.
Yeah, you know? They just want all my money.
They do. I don't know.
Can't have it.
I'm trying to think. Are there other examples, maybe?
Like, I mean, even like Dave Ramsey's budgeting thing. There's a free version, which is, I do use the free version. But like,
this free version is good.
Every
Dollar Pro, it like automatically budgets itself into your budget. It's like, well, hang on a second.
It's like, hey.
Easy target.
Yeah.
It's just annoying. Everyone wants to make a buck, Joe.
Everybody wants to make a buck, man.
I can't believe it.
Oh,
our podcast is free. You're welcome.
You get exactly what you pay for. All you had to do was buy that iPhone and pay the monthly subscription to.
I mean, you could be listening to it on like the library computer on the web or something.
I guess that's true. That would be really
realistically
free,
not though.
Yeah. But I can think of one thing, one like mainstream service. I'm gonna make sure that it's actually
and didn't switch to $100 a month today or something. Mainstream service. I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Can you guess what it is?
Google.
Oh well, that's true. You don't pay for Google, do you?
You
How
don't.
Do they make money?
You are the product.
If
you don't
yeah,
pay
yeah,
money,
yeah,
you are the product.
Yeah, that's very true.
They do have, yes, there are advertisements. And they also have so much money on their other products that it doesn't really matter at this point.
Yeah, that's
Anyway, fair what enough. Product were you thinking of, Joe?
Well, yeah, okay, it is. The Affinity Designer package. Have you ever heard of this?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Oh, is that that's the one-time purchase, correct?
Yep, that's the one.
I respect them for that.
It's a one-time purchase. I think, actually, is Procreate the same thing?
I don't remember. Well, some companies, like what's funny is that a lot of companies will call your bluff where they're like, you can either do the $15 a month subscription. Oh, you don't want to? Okay, how about the $300 one-time purchase? It's like, we're calling your bluff. Do you really not want it that bad?
Yeah.
And then maybe there's like restrictions as well to where even the $300 one-time purchase like won't give you perpetual updates kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. It's probably the way of the future and there's probably no way around it, but it just feels annoying.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Procreate's the same thing. Now, I think that though that they... There is like a premium version.
That is monthly. Yeah.
No, I guess it's just once. Really? Wow. But they also make money. I think they have like brushes that you can buy.
Digital brushes.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. You ever played Jetpack Joyride as a kid?
Jetpack Joyride?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Talk about nickel and diming you. Although I will say like the $4 or $5 coin doubler is a really good investment. Just because without the coin doubler, it's like you're just never going to get anything no matter
really?
What. But the coin doubler makes us, you can actually get stuff.
Huh.
Because the game's intentionally designed. Did you ever buy the coin doubler?
No.
It's intentionally designed so that like you can't get coins fast enough to really buy anything in a reasonable amount of time. But the coin doubler, you can. It makes it more reasonable.
Huh.
So everything's priced very strategically, so you want the coin doubler super bad. And then one time I picked up my aunt's phone and played Froggy Jump. I'm not sure if you ever played
that. Oh, yeah.
But it's like her frog had like costumes and like tons of powers and like automatic rockets whenever you fell. And like, it was just like playing a different game. It's like, what is this? And she's like, oh yeah, I just poured tons of my own personal money into the game. And then like, now I have just like this super frog that like is muscular and no one can take this down. Like this frog is unstoppable because I put in $400. I mean, you hear those horror stories of the like little Timmy who like gets his mom's iPad and just spends $1,000 on Froggy Jump.
Little
Timmy is sleeping outside tonight, even though it's -5 degrees in the winter. Little Timmy's got to stand outside.
He can sleep in the garage. He'll be fine. Yeah, that's...
Let the fumes get him from the car. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, yeah, hey, Alexa, order an iPhone 15 Pro.
Yeah.
Sounds good. We'll send that right to you.
Yeah, golly.
My goodness. What's the world coming to,
what
Jeff?
What is the world coming? Man.
Every time you go out to eat, it's like $20. It's
dude,
like,
when did that happen? Literally, like, any fast food place, automatically
it's like, you want
$10
a really crappy, you really want a crappy burger and some super crappy fries? How about that's $25?
And every business ever wants a tip from me now. Mr. Starbucks worker, you don't need an extra dollar from me for taking my order. This is what they pay you for. Now, I do feel often convicted to be, you know, more open to that, but it's just, it's like,
but then you get
I
back
remember
to
the simple days of going to Wendy's, spending $4.16 on a 4 for $4, and I got a burger, fries, nuggets, and a drink for $4.16.
Is it 4 for $4 like $16 now?
Now the cheapest one you can do is a $5 biggie bag, but they only have the crappy sandwiches with that. So if you actually want something that's good, you have to pay $6. Yeah.
The crispy chicken BLT, this looks pretty good.
Five?
That's five.
The $5 biggie bag is fine. I'm just saying, I miss the days when I could do that, and they wouldn't ask me for a tip. Well, actually, wait, do they do that at Wendy's?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, actually. Okay,
For $5 plus inflation and tax.
Yeah. But Chick-fil-A doesn't either.
So I do what?
A tip.
Oh, no. Chick-fil-A's anti-tip for sure, but
yeah.
I remember... Chick-fil-A sandwich costs like $3.20 after tax or something, and now it's like $6 or something dumb. I exaggerate, but I feel like it's at least $5.20 or something now, and used to is $3.20, which feels aggressive for how not big the sandwich is. I don't know.
It does. I think, well, the meal I know is like $9. It's like slightly under $10.
I remember when the meal was like $6 or $7.
See, I remember that too. I miss that so much. Ugh.
But it's like, maybe it's just that wages haven't matched it, but it's like, it just feels expensive or something.
Yeah, it does. Well, yeah.
But my parents all said, yeah, we were always complaining that things were expensive. They're like, no matter what, man, eggs are 5 cents. A gallon of gas is 25 cents. I can't believe they think they can do this to us. No matter what we complain. Like, I told you that I was reading a Stephen King book, and he was like, the main character was like, with gas prices at 5 cents or something, how is a man supposed to eat?
Really?
He's like complaining. So people inflation. Complain about it. There's like a gallon of milk is like 3 cents. Like, I can't believe they think they can do this to us. And just ask my great aunt Catherine sometime. It's like, yeah, college was like $2,000 a semester, but you also only made like 5 cents an hour, so it kind of evened out.
There you go. Yeah, it's the same. Man. I tell you what.
I don't know. Just shop at Aldi and
dude, Aldi's awesome. I need to do that more, actually. I've fallen into the Sam's Club lie, like that everything is better at Sam's Club.
No, Sam's Club has some good stuff.
Sam's Club is good, but I feel like if I go to Aldi, I can actually get like what I want. Mostly, I mean, it's off-brand, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, who cares?
But it's like in the quantity that I will actually use it in before it goes bad. I think that's my only thing with Sam's Club is that you have to buy in bulk. And then because I don't live with six other people in my house, like a family anymore, does, you know, it's like sometimes that food doesn't always get eaten before it goes bad.
Joe. Mm-mm.
I feel horrible. I feel like an awful person. No.
What you gonna do?
Anyway, I need to go to Aldi. That's what I need to do.
I mean, the prices are pretty reasonable. Hard to complain.
They are.
Did you know Aldi doesn't answer the phone because their employees have better things to do? They don't have a phone number and don't answer anything because their employees have better things to do. If you look on the website, it's like, yeah, we do not accept any calls.
I'm looking this up.
So it automatically like filters out the idiots pretty much is how that works. It's like, well, if you can't figure it out, then you'll just come. But other than that, and the cashier sit down, it's great.
They do sit down.
Because it's faster. Yeah. Why would you need to stand up all day? That's dumb. You don't need to stand up.
Okay, Aldi. Let's see.
Anyway, Aldi's great.
Is there a contact us? Contact us.
Yeah, I promise it says on the website.
You know, with some... Contact customer service?
I literally don't think you can. I think customer service does not exist is how that works.
There's actually nothing here. Well, wait. There's like corporate numbers you can call.
Yeah, but no store.
But no store numbers, yeah. That's crazy.
Which is kind of smart, because then you don't have to deal with stuff all day.
Karen on the phone who wants to return eggs she bought four weeks ago.
Yeah, how about not? How about
but we doesn't, don't do that? Won't come in and talk to you about it?
Yeah, how about we don't do that?
Yeah, wow.
How about we don't do that? So,
man, good
they've
on
got
Aldi.
My respect. Good job.
Yeah. Ooh, they got steak?
Focus, Joe. Focus,
sorry,
Joe.
I'm getting
oh,
hungry.
Shrimp tacos? No, don't mind if I do.
It's on the brain, you know?
Food's on the brain. Anyway, I try not to complain, but I've got a good life. I just like, man, yeah. Chick-fil-A meal's like $10? It's not worth $10. It only costs like not $10 to make. I almost said the amount.
Dude.
almost cost $10 to
make. Well, that's like me and Jack went and bought two steaks for $20 at Sam's Club, and we made them, and it was like hefty steak. If I'm guessing, it probably would have cost like 25 to
each,
30
each. So half price to go to Sam's.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a good deal just to make it at home, you know? I honestly, I more see going out to food as a utility now, like if I'm meeting with somebody.
Just to wait, you're paying extra just to meet with someone, have a
exactly.
nice place to do.
That's how I see it, because I could eat at home for way cheaper, but I'm not going to invite everybody over to my house all the time. You know what I mean?
Do you think people will eventually protest like things costing that much and it'll just be like, I guess I won't eat out, or people will just always do it, or I don't know.
I don't know. I think you can count on the fact that people are lazy
and don't want to put in the effort.
Yeah. Though. I mean, I'm lazy, you know, like I mean, I'm not lazy all the time, but I have my moments, you know?
That's funny. Yeah. Reading Atomic Habits, I see.
It is on my desk.
That does not equate to reading it. It is on my
yeah,
desk.
Yeah, I've gotten stopped. I'm trying to... I started a lot of books because I was interested in a lot of books. And now I've kind of lost a little steam. And so I'm trying to like finish a couple.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever finished it or no?
No, I'm still... I am...
That thing takes like a day or two to read tops. It's so fast.
The Man Who Didn't Look Right.
Goes down like butter.
That's what
You're on The Man Who Didn't Look Right? That's like page 10 or something. Yeah.
That's like page 50 something.
I remember The Man Who Didn't Look Right. I also remember the intro. James Clear is like, yeah, in college I was like valedictorian and like played on all the basketball teams. Yeah, like, all right, yeah. Calm down there, Buckaroo. whoa.
I just remember the story he told about like getting hit in the face with a baseball or something.
Oh, and needed like, couldn't see and needed corrective surgery. And also,
yeah.
I don't remember fully what the point of that story was, but yeah, I do remember that story.
I think it was just like the healing process. Like small things over time.
I don't know. I just like the simple life, Joe. I don't like none of these $20 Wendy's Biggie Bags.
I feel you. Yeah.
I want to live my life and be unbothered by capitalist society. Although, think about it. Like, even if someone works 40 or 50 hours a week, that's way less than you would have to work to have the same standard of life where you build your own house and grow your own food and do everything. Then 100%. You would never be able to do it. So you have to participate in capitalistic society sometimes.
Yeah, we all have to live with it, you know?
We have to live with it.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, everyone wants a buck, Joe. You know, like, you listen to podcasts, like, check out our premium version of this podcast. It's like, how about what I don't?
Our Patreon, our exclusive videos on, yeah.
It's just annoying.
I forget. Do you like musicals?
I like them all right. I don't love them, I don't think. I mean, Wicked is obviously great. And Joseph and the Coat of Many Colors are great.
Never seen that.
Never loved Hamilton. Mm. But I don't know. I've grew up listening to some musicals in the car that were kind of nice and they're nostalgic. And Dear Evan Hansen's a lot of fun. But those three are kind of where my knowledge sort of starts to end a little bit.
Got it. Well, I have a recommendation. I don't think I've talked about this yet. I don't think I've talked about this yet.
Go for it.
The Last 5 Years. Have you ever heard of this?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Phenomenal. Just a phenomenal musical. Essentially, the premise is it's very self-contained. It's the story of a guy and a girl and their relationship over the course of 5 years. And that's pretty much the whole musical. And
oh, riveting.
I know, but it's really good. And the thing that makes it really cool is that basically they trade off and they go back and forth. She has a song and then he has a song and then she has a song and then he has a song. But what makes it really cool is that they move... The it's not chronological. The songs happen in opposite nature. So like she the musical starts with essentially, sorry, let me
singing
explain
it to yourself.
Yeah. He moves forward in time in all of his songs. So the first song you see from him is the first thing chronologically that happens.
Oh, so he sings a song where it's like, I just met this girl, and she sings a song where it's like, I'm breaking up with this guy.
Yeah, exactly, right? So she starts at the end and goes backwards. He starts at the beginning and goes forward.
That sounds awesome.
It's is this so new? Good. No, it came out in 2015.
Oh, okay.
But it's really good. So Anna Kendrick is the girl. Okay. You know her from...
Yeah, of course. Who doesn't know her from the classic Cup song?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Who could forget? And then Jeremy Jordan is the guy. He was in Newsies, I think. I never saw that. But anyway, it is really phenomenal. Like, just the way that it's told, the story. Obviously, the music. Oh, my gosh. The music is so good. Anyway, I watched it. So I watched it actually for the first time my junior year in college. But Lizzie McAlpine was doing a live stream.
Oh, yeah.
She did a couple of the songs because she's a big musical person. And she
Instagram live stream?
Yeah, mark. Instagram.
Cool.
And then she was doing a couple of the songs from the musical, and I was like, I need to watch that again. And I did, and I've been like hooked on it again ever since, like for like a month. It's really good. I think you'd enjoy it. Just the musical complexity, the story of it. Ugh. Ugh. So good.
I'll have to check it out, Joe.
Yeah, you should. I think everybody listening should. Like, it's just a very, like, and I feel like it flew under the radar. Like, I had never heard of it until a couple of years ago. And it was written in, like, 2005, 2006, and then, like, they made a movie of it.
Was it ever on Broadway or anything, or not even?
I really don't know. I don't know if it was on Broadway, but I know it was successful enough to warrant a movie. Again, it's just really well done. It's really well done.
Joe's always got those underground recommendations, like Lizzie McAlpine back before anyone knew her.
Yeah.
And
did I know her back before anyone knew her?
I think she was under a million when you knew about her. Now she's
mainstream. That's pretty underground for today's...
By today's standard.
Yeah, by today's standards. Yeah. Shout out to Kate Holsapple. She's the one who showed me the last 5 years.
Kate's the real person who knows the
stuff. She knows everything.
She knows everything.
Yeah.
Joe's just the messenger. He doesn't get any credit for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's true.
That's my professional... music recommendation / movie recommendation
that you don't recommend professionally.
Well, I can't necessarily recommend it professionally, but
wink wink,
it. You should go watch it.
Wink wink,
really
nudge
good.
Nudge.
It's just a really intriguing story. Anyway, I think you'd like it.
Well, what was this, Joe, about? Were you wanting to like walk the way or something?
Oh yes, we were talking about this beforehand. So, I just gave you my movie/music recommendation. My book recommendation is, without a doubt, Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer.
Yep, I'm halfway-ish through.
Okay, are you liking it so far?
Yep, it's all right.
Good. I'll take all right.
It's okay.
You can maybe flesh that out.
Maybe not his like best work, but it's okay.
Yeah, sure. I think that, so the reason I like it is because essentially his point is that we in the modern Western evangelical church make much of Jesus' death and resurrection, which we should. That's like one of the main crutch foundations of the entirety of Christianity. That's really the main thing, is that Jesus died and rose again. His point is that we make so much of that and forget that Jesus didn't just come to die, he lived. And not only did he live, he taught. And not only did he teach, he told people to follow him. And so, like, we tend to, and not that every church does this, not that every Christian does this, but we tend to preach the gospel as follows. You are broken. You are sinful. God loves you. So Jesus came and died for you. And if you believe that, now you get to live in heaven. And that's it. And so people, like, what has happened is that people will believe the gospel, be baptized, whatever, and then be like, okay, well, it's transactional. Now I get to go to heaven, so I guess I'll go to church the rest of my life and maybe give a few dollars here and there and serve, and I'm good. I'm covered. You know, but it's like an insurance policy. It's like a transaction thing, right?
Yeah, you've got that fire insurance policy going there.
Exactly. Whereas I think first of all, the scary thing about that is that how Jesus talks about how some people who say, Lord, Lord, to me will not enter the kingdom of heaven, right? Yeah. Freaky.
Don't like that one.
Yeah, right. But more than that, we just totally miss out on this call to like follow Jesus and live like he did. And so that's John Mark Comer's, I think his main point is to draw this distinction between being a quote unquote Christian and being an apprentice of Jesus, like who is practicing the way, which that phrase comes from Acts when before it was called Christianity, it was called the way,
which is really, way cooler,
which is so cool.
Let's bring that back.
Yeah. Well, cause also like the word used there is a road, and a road in like that implies that you travel down it. Like you are traversing the way, which again, that's something that we lack. Like Christianity is really stagnant sometimes in a lot of people. But if it's a way, if it's a road that you have to go down, one of the points he makes in this book, this is like kind of a side point, but I loved it because I felt so convicted by it. I don't know if you did, but he talks about discipleship and the difference between apprenticeship and discipleship. So like in the church now, we use the word disciple as a verb a ton, right? So who's discipling you? Who are you discipling?
Cringe.
I know. Well, and the reason, and I do that. I was doing that all this year. I've done that my whole life. I've said that. And he talks about it and says, the word disciple in the Bible is primarily, if not only, used as a noun, not as a verb. And the difference is small, but it's huge in that if you are being discipled by someone, then the emphasis is on that person, not you. And so you like, and his point in the book is he says, oh, like I've heard so many people come to me begrudged or like feeling snuffed because their previous pastor, quote unquote, didn't disciple them or they weren't discipled by their previous pastors. And he says it in love, but he goes on to say, like, if you think that discipleship is about somebody giving something to you only, that's wrong. Like, that's not what discipleship is about. You know what I mean? That's not what apprenticeship is about. If, let's say, you wanted to go and be a plumber, you would go be an apprentice to a plumber. And it's not on the plumber to make sure you understand stuff. It's on you to show up and, like, learn and, like, be around the plumber. And, like, and he's not, and don't hear me wrong, he's not preaching, like, a self-help, works-based gospel. He's trying to course correct from the stagnant, what's that word? Something Christian. Lukewarm. Thank you. I knew it was too syllables.
You're welcome. Happy to help.
Something Christian. Luke, thank you. You just, the way you looked at me, I was like, yeah.
That's what it is.
But yeah, I mean, I think he's trying to course correct for the growth and the rise of the lukewarm Christianity that we have, you know? Which I think is crazy convicting. Like one of the things he said in there was and I think I've said this to you, Zachary, before, and obviously you've read it at this point, but we boil Jesus down to the delivery mechanism for God's grace, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And ignore everything that he did with the example that he set.
Yeah. And now again, Jesus is the form that God's grace took to like save us from our sins, and that's true, 100%. But he did so much more than that. He was a teacher, he was a rabbi, and he told people to follow him. And like the emphasis is on, are you gonna follow him? Like you get to make that decision. Like, are you going to pick up your life? Are you gonna drop your nets and follow him? I think that the one thing about John Mark Comer that I think is maybe the reason people don't like him, and the reason I've had issues with some of his books in the past, is that sometimes it's hard to figure out what point he's trying to make. Like, he sometimes gets lost a little bit.
Yeah.
it's almost like very train of thought. It's hard to follow. And I think sometimes I felt that in this book, for sure. But I think if you walk away with it from it with the main points that he makes, which are the call is to be an apprentice of Jesus, not to accept his grace and then like live your own life and think you're covered for eternity. And then the way he talks about it is the three goals of an apprentice is to be with your person. So if you want to be a plumber, be around the plumber. Make time. Like, be there. Put yourself in situations where you are around that person in order that the second goal, you can be like that person, you know, be like the plumber, like watch what he does, copy it, you know, which then leads into the third point, do as he does. You want to be around this person. You want to be like them. And then you want to do as they do. And so that's his point with Jesus, is like, we as apprentices to Jesus, we should put ourselves around him. We should spend time with him. We should learn about him. We should want to be like him. And then we should do as he did. Which like is super simple. And like, that's, I think, where some of the, like, he like talks some of it to death, I think, sometimes, which is where he lost me a little bit. But then he gets into the rule of life chapter. I thought that was great. Just, it's very practical. Very, very practical. Talking about spiritual disciplines, which I thought was great. And so anyway, I'm excited to kind of like implement some of those things that I've like been thinking about, which I guess we can talk about as time goes on. But yeah, and then he ends it with like kind of a count the cost before you do this thing, which I liked a lot. Again, I just feel like it's a very, it can catch a lot of people. You know, it can catch the lukewarm Christian. It can catch the on fire Christian and encourage that person. It can catch the in-between person who's like figuring it out. You know, it can catch the new Christian. It can catch the non-Christian. Like, the way he writes is very open to so many people. And I think the price for that is that you sometimes lose the specificity and the organized nature. But overall, I felt like it was an awesome, sometimes a scathing look at the modern state of Christianity in America specifically. So,
I mean, it's pretty easy to go to church and not be like Jesus the other days. That's the ultimate thing. It's like, I've been thinking that, because it's like, well, if you're rushing around, like trying to drive fast and get a bunch of stuff done, that's not what Jesus did. And then it's like, oh, but I have to. It's like, yeah, but what you gonna do?
Yeah, right? Like, how can... And then he has this line, I think it's a quote actually, in the busy of the inner city, find the quiet desert of the monk, you know what I'm saying? It's like in the busyness, find the quiet, you know, find the thing that you can do that puts you in the presence of God.
Find the secret place.
The secret place. He talks about
that.
I did
read it.
Yep. Yes, you did. So anyway, sorry. I probably went on for like 5 to 6 minutes about that.
It's all right.
But I really did love it. And it's affecting the way that I view my life, which is a good thing. And I'm hoping to read it with a small group at some point in the future. So
I liked what you said, Joe. What was it? All Christians should aspire to live a quiet and humble life. Something.
Yeah.
To that effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of goes with it.
Yeah. I totally agree. Like, and just what we talked about, I think we talked about that not on a podcast, right?
I don't remember at this point, but yes, we've talked about it.
Just like, not everybody's called to be a pastor and speak in front of thousands and thousands of people.
No, that's like, aggressive now.
Yeah. Some people are just called to like live their lives, and like, and maybe someone are called to be a pastor of some church that has like 20 people show up every Sunday, you know, a bivocational pastor. I think what's encouraging to me about that, and for reference, if like listener, it's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 4, I think, somewhere, where Paul is talking about like, aspire to live a quiet life and work with your hands, so that basically through the work you do, like, you can display God to the people around you. Which, like, I think we have a lot of people now that like want the platform and want the,
oh yeah, are in it for look at me. For
yeah. Sure. And I mean, to be 100% honest, like, that's something that I think I struggle with sometimes. And I think we all kind of do sometimes. Like, there's that inner voice that's like, you know, I want more. But I think just the where I'm at right now and the people I have to be accountable to, like, keep me in line in that way. And so I'm thankful for that. But I think it's a struggle, because I think humans are selfish. You know what I mean? And we want to be looked at. We want the attention. We want the platform. We want the pride. We want the voice, you know? And I think Paul's not advocating for that. You know, he doesn't say that all people are called to be, you know, one thing. Like, I think there is so much beauty in a life where you're a farmer and you work hard and you do your job and you rest with the Lord and you study when you have the time, you make time to study and you witness to your neighbor. And maybe your neighbor is the only person that you ever witness to, but you witness to that. That's a beautiful life, you know? I think, what's that proverb? In the abundance of words, sin is not ended or something, which is basically to say, I just take that to mean like in noise, like there's more opportunity for bad stuff to happen when there's more stimulus. Amen, you know what I mean? Amen to that. Oh man, that actually leads into something else, but
go for it, Joe.
Well, I don't want to, I don't want to spoil it. It's from the last 5 years.
All right. How about I watch it?
And you then just watch it, and then maybe we could talk about it.
Next episode, maybe.
Next episode.
Watch it sometime.
Yep. Anyway, I think there's a beauty in that. It's just like following Jesus. Like, and that's what I've been actually encouraged in the last couple of weeks is like, there's lots of aspirations I have, and not that aspirations are wrong or bad, but I think there's definitely an opportunity for pride to like fester there. And what I've been encouraged with, what I keep hearing is like, just follow me. Just follow me. Like, that's all you're called to do is just follow me, Jesus. Which is like really encouraging because that's all I'm called to do in every moment. You know, like I don't have to think about a year from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now. Like I think about today. I think about right now. I think about this moment, this hour. Like, how can I follow Jesus in this hour? You know, which is like way more doable. Like, thank God that anyway, not that I could control anything other than that, you know? So.
Yeah, my mind's always been really attracted to simplicity. Mm-hmm. It's like there's too much stuff around and there's like too much going on and not enough intention behind any of it and what's even going on. Yeah. And so that's why I've always been like, you know, black background on my phone guy or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of nice. It just feels like sometimes there's a lot of additional noise where we don't need a lot of additional noise.
Totally.
It's like, what are we even doing here? Not that the answer is all white walls and whatever, but I don't know. There's just my mind wants to get to a point where it's like, it's a simple life and you don't maybe have a ton of thoughts or a ton of worries, but you know, you're doing good work and it's clear that you're doing good work and you're relaxed and it's clear that you're relaxed.
Yeah.
This all sounds very vague. I just don't know how to explain it. I guess maybe it's just you achieve inner peace like Master Oogway and Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
Inner peace.
Yeah, totally. Well, and like, I think something I'm also been encouraged in is like, I think the beautiful thing about like Holy Spirit peace is that you can have it when your circumstances don't
match. Yeah, I'm not there yet. That's the advanced chapter. I'm not there yet.
I mean, the amount of like, just like when the world would look at your situation and go, yeah, you should be stressed out. And then like, you're not because you have like the peace that passes understanding. That's God, man. That is the Lord for sure.
Did you get the light phone yet?
I do. Yeah, I have it.
Ooh, fancy. It's right fancy. Here. Can I see?
Yes, you can. I haven't started.
Ooh, this
I haven't,
is kind of like, cool.
I have
it
not.
It feels very cool in my hand. Is it have battery by chance?
It does. I think so. Yeah. So on the top there's a.
Ah, on the top. It's like the. Oh, interesting. Wow. Look at that. What? Is it okay to like do stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, try not to call anyone.
There's not really a ton to do.
There's nothing to do. So there's a keypad.
Yes. Huh. I have not utilized it yet. So like, I haven't like sent my number to the people I want to have it. And like, I haven't not, my plan has not been actualized yet. But it is like, sometimes it's nice to have, like, if I just don't want to be around my phone, but like, I don't want to die in the ditch. Like, and
wait, like, is it USB? Tell me it's USB. Oh, is it micro USB?
Yeah,
is it
it's micro USB. Oh,
yeah, no. Joe.
I wish it was USB-C. But
throw this piece, throw it away. Trash can's over there.
Yeah, I mean, I
unacceptable.
Like it. It's nice. I just haven't utilized it yet. I need to do that. So it's just sitting.
Yeah, that's intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've been a little too addicted to my phone, to be honest, which I'm usually pretty good about it, but now it's like, scroll. Oh, okay, too much scrolling. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what else do I do? So listen to my own thoughts? That's not going to work. So I need to pray for me, Joe. I need to be at peace with my own thoughts.
Totally. I think that's... you remember when I lost my AirPods and it was like awesome? Because
you
lost
the left, then you lost the right, then you lost the case.
Yeah.
And it was a whole... Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah. Podcasts just... I don't know. They were fun for a while. I say on a podcast. Tech podcasts in particular, they're fun for a while, but at a certain point, it's like, who cares how many gigahertz are in the latest iPad Pro. Like, not yeah. me. I don't care about that.
It is funny to me. We used to talk about that stuff all the time.
It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. Maybe it's interesting, but seriously, who cares? Then you just want to buy it, and it's expensive, and you can't buy it, and it's just like, yeah. There's other things to think about. Like, we're in more control of what we think about than we may realize. What do we allow in our brain? Who do we allow in our lives?
Totally.
We're in more control than we think.
Yep. Yep.
The end.
It's just funny. We always get back to existential stuff. Every time. Like, we don't even, you know, it's like, we get set out with the best of intentions, and we always, like, I mean, not that, like, being existential is bad. I'm just saying we always come back to.
The other problem is that, like, Joe, I swear life goes by too fast, you know? Like, I think that every now and then it's like 7 p.m. and I'm like, okay. And then I look at the clock 10 minutes later, it's 8 p.m. and I'm like, okay, hang on. It's
yeah,
like,
totally.
Whoa. Yep. Hang on just a minute.
I totally agree.
So it's like, I guess I'll just be dead in 10 minutes.
But you know, it's a perception thing, because, like, every human being that has ever existed, we've all moved through life at the same rate, which is 60 seconds per minute, 60 minutes per hour, 24 hours per day, and 365 days per year. Just, I mean, every human has accelerated through life at that speed. So you know it's just a perception thing, but even still, it feels, I know what you're saying. Like, I think it's maybe because we imagine that things don't take time. Like me walking from here to the bathroom doesn't exist as a
function of time. Oh, yeah,
you
need to discount it, but then it adds up to 2 hours over the course of the week.
Exactly. So then you look at the clock, and it's 7, and then you're like, wow, it's 7 o'clock. And then it's like you walk to the kitchen, look in the fridge, nothing's there, and you walk
downstairs. And it's 7:35.
And you see, exactly, right? And you, like, look at what other people are doing,
and you
talk for a second.
And you don't think about that, and then it just adds up so fast.
Exactly. I think that's my guess.
That's probably it.
That's my guess. But.
Because if I have a day when I'm totally alone, it does take a long time to get that day done with nothing planned, obviously.
Yeah, totally.
But then if you add other people, like, just like what feels like a 10-minute conversation might have been a 20-minute conversation. And yeah, it's a whole thing.
Totally. Which is honestly, like, why I've always been a fan of that phrase, memento mori, you know?
This again.
I know, right? I know.
Remember, you will die.
Yeah, right. But even, I mean, John Mark Comer, in that book, he talks about monks. They used to have skulls on, like, near them. Like,
oh,
like
the ethical dilemma where he's going to get a real skull, but he didn't know where it came from.
Yeah. But funny. I kind of want to, I've been thinking about getting one for my office. I don't think it would match
a real skull?
Not a real skull. Good Lord, no. Go grave robbing or something.
whoa.
No. Just like a, I don't know, does Etsy have skulls?
Just a plastic Etsy 3D printed skull. Oh, yeah. Maybe, yeah, you can get that.
I don't know, just like as a reminder. Like, I don't know, It's something that's a tangible reminder of the fact that, like, I should be thinking about.
That freaks me out, though, because I feel like I haven't done half the stuff I want to do, but I might die before I get 1/4 of it done. And then there's life responsibilities to attend to. Yeah. And
what do you want to do?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. Well, you should do it, you know?
What if you don't have enough money or time or energy to do it?
Well, let's talk after this. Follow us on Patreon, pay our monthly subscription fee to hear that conversation.
Yeah, and then what they do is that they would, like, fade it out. They'd be like, so Joe, something I've always really wanted to
do
is.
Oh my gosh. That would kill me. I hate that.
I should just end it.
We don't actually have a Patreon because we don't believe in that crap.